You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. What can white people do about racism in America? That's the question we put to some people out on the street today.
What white people can do? What do you mean, what white people can do to end racism?
I can't really give you a good answer on that because it's been rampant for years. I can't really give you a good answer.
I think it's difficult to answer that without being insensitive or patronizing.
It's such a hard topic to talk about because people get so, you know, like, angry, and it's always like an elephant in a room when you talk about racism, but it's like, it's something that needs to be talked about.
I think we need to be a little more open-minded, and I think we need a lot of work. I think the white people need to really work on this. I think it's embarrassing.
You know, as much as they can, people are in different situations in their lives, are more or less freedom to take part in demonstrations or whatever forms of peaceful protest they might choose, but it's an awful problem.
Depending on, sometimes people just maybe need to educate themselves as well, you know, about the history of the United States and where everything originated and how we got to where we are today. I think a lot of people aren't aware. And so if they were, they could see why people feel the way they do today.
I don't know, just because it's not affecting you doesn't mean it's not affecting your surroundings and your society. So I think just being aware and, like, trying to see, you know, what more they could do, you know, just being supportive of African Americans and how they feel. Because I think if you're not in the shoes, you really don't know.
Those were the voices of some of the people we spoke with on the streets of Ann Arbor and Northville earlier today. So what are some ways that white people can become part of the struggle for racial justice in America? Here now to talk about this are Tawana Petty, a mother, a social justice organizer, author, and poet. She's with the Detroit Equity Action Lab. And with us also, Dessa Cosmo. She is also with DEAL, the Detroit Equity Action Lab, and with Surge Metro Detroit, Showing Up for Racial Justice. It's a national network of groups organizing white people for racial justice. It's good to have you both with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. So glad to be here.
I want to dive right in with you, Dessa. What can white people do to help change America's very long history of racism as we move forward?
Well, it's a really important question, and I think all white people should be asking themselves that question throughout every day of their lives. To me, as a white person, it's really important to both listen and observe and learn as much as I can about the history of race in the United States. It's really important for me to reflect on what being white means and to remember that my position as a white person grants me certain unearned privileges throughout my daily life that are really easy to take for granted as a white person, but that people of color don't take for granted because they see that they're not being afforded the same opportunity. So as a person who cares about fairness and justice, and as a person who believes all of us should have equal opportunity, I think white people need to examine our privilege. We need to examine how that plays out in our daily lives. And we need to build strong relationships with people of color and take their direction in how to solve issues of racial injustice in the United States.
Tawana Petty, as a woman of color, how do you feel when you hear that question?
Well, you know, a lot of times I think one of the biggest concerns for me is that white, well-meaning anti-racist organizers and liberals think that the work of doing anti-racist organizing happens in the communities of color, when in actuality, I feel that there are too many white, well-meaning people running from racial conversations within the white community. And so then that creates a dynamic where people of color, black people predominantly, are running from racial violence. And so I think that when I'm asked what white people can do, most times I say, do the organizing within your community.
What do you say, Tawana, to white people who try to prove they're not racist?
You might be well-meaning, and I would say that that you might be committed to ending racism, but in order to coexist with the system as it stands today and the hierarchical dynamics and the system of supremacy that prefaces white people over black people and people of color, that it's kind of, you can't completely shed racism if you benefit from the system as it stands today.
Dessa, in your work, what do you find is most challenging for white people to understand about racism in America?
I think it's really hard for people, white people in particular, to understand that this is not a problem that we can just solve because we want to, right? That, like, in our lifetime, we are going to find all the solutions to this vast and longstanding set of problems. So people give up. They think, this is huge. This is too big for me. And so I'm just going to, like, go back to my life and pretend it's not a problem. In actuality, that's the reason that we're not solving the problem. To me, it is the responsibility of white people to solve the problems of racism with the, you know, guidance from people of color as appropriate, but not relying on people of color to do all of that work. This problem lies within white culture and in with white systems that replicate white supremacy. And so we really need to be at the forefront of solving these problems. And that will take all of us examining who we are and how we benefit and making the long-term commitment to ending racism, not only for people of color's sake, but for our own humanity as well.
Tuana, what thoughts do you have on that as far as what you find most challenging for white people to really grasp about what racism looks like and means in America?
You know, I think that a lot of people are just waking up to the fact that racism is still an issue. And so one of the most challenging things about that is that you have people that are on many different levels of consciousness. You have folks that it's their first protest. You have folks that have been doing this work and are exhausted because they've been doing this work for decades. And you have folks that are somewhere in the middle. And so we're trying to have a same conversation with all these different levels of consciousness, and that makes it very complicated. And so I don't think that it's a conversation that necessarily has to happen just between white people, but I do think that white people need to have the conversation with each other.
To that point, Dessa, why you think about white people's feelings being fragile when it comes to being accused of getting benefits in America? You touched on that, just because they were born white. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because we have a culture of tiptoeing around important issues like racism. I think that if you grow up in a culture that, you know, purposefully and unconsciously tells you that you're better than other people, but doesn't ever explain the real history of the United States or the real way that many, many people in this country feel, it becomes really easy to avoid the topic if you're white. If you only have white friends and your whole family is white and your coworkers are white, the folks you see asking and demanding civil rights seem weird or seem out there, when in actuality, it's absolutely, you know, it's responsible to be demanding rights if you're being discriminated against. It's the thing that any of us would do. And so, you know, to stay within one's white bubble is keeping us from learning and keeping us from practicing having difficult conversations, which keeps us fragile. And to me, you know, I've been on a long journey as a white person. I'm always going to be on that journey of understanding race and racism and my role as a white person. And I used to be a lot more fragile than I am now, right? 10 years ago, if a woman of color that I respected, an elder perhaps, maybe gave me a pointer or criticized the way I talked about something, I would just crumble and want to run away. And what I realize is the more I practice and the more I listen and learn from people that have been doing this work longer than me, the tougher I get and the more of a teacher I can become to others.
Tuana, why is it, do you think, that many white people can't see the structural racism that has been just baked into generations in American society?
Well, I mean, absolutely part of that is propaganda. I live in a city that's 90% non-white. So 80%+ black people and a small percentage of other identities that are non-white. And Detroit is a perfect example of a city that's been under a half century of propaganda assault. And so you have people that have bought into the narrative that if black people, people of color, just raise themselves up by their bootstraps, they wouldn't be dealing with this mess. A lot of people are not acknowledging the fact that there are banks and organizations and institutions that are literally raised all of their wealth off of slavery. And so you have generational wealth, you have organizational wealth, you have financial institutions that are wealthy that won't offer up the same privileges and rights to people of color and black people, although they got most of their wealth off of a very violent history in this country. And so I think that we need to dig deeper into the history of organizations and finances in this country, as well as recognize what the fundamental contradictions of this country are. And so, I mean, we have a situation right now where people are literally becoming very violent because folks don't want to stand for the national anthem. And it makes me think back on when the athletes raised their fists back in the 60s and had their medals taken from them. We should not still be going through that type of violence from the administration and the system for doing something like advocating for our humanity.
Yeah, and Cynthia, I couldn't agree with Tawana more on all of that. And I think in Detroit, I'm also a Detroiter, and you know, specifically in our city, the ways that these historical tragedies are playing out today are really stark and really detrimental, particularly to African Americans. For example, by the end of this year, we're going to have 100,000 water shutoffs in the city of Detroit. That is a crisis. That is a crisis of proportions that I don't think most Michiganders realize what that means for people's lives and livelihoods, for the public health, for the social safety net. Like, that is a huge crisis. And when I ask myself, would that be happening in a white city or in a white neighborhood, I can unequivocally say the answer is no. No one would allow 100,000 homes to not have running water in almost anywhere else in the country. And when I think about the fact that there's been 100,000 tax foreclosures in Detroit, that is a crisis that affects every single Detroiter, whether they got foreclosed on or not. And it's not in the best interest of our city, no matter who's in charge of our city, for there to be 100,000 homes without water and 100,000 tax foreclosed homes. So when you have something that's that bad for a city and you have people in charge not figuring out how to solve that problem, there's clearly something else going on. And to me, it's a devaluing of people of color and black people in particular. And I don't think that that's acceptable.
We're talking about what can white people do to help change America's history of racism as we move forward, as we talk with Dessa Cosma, who is with the Detroit Equity Action Lab, and also Surge Metro Detroit, showing up for racial justice. Also from the Detroit Equity Action Lab, we're talking with mother, social justice organizer, author, and poet, Tawana Petty. What are some don'ts? If white people want to be a part of the solution, Tawana, what should they not do?
I think one of the things that I would personally ask that white well-meaning anti-racist organizers not do is not assume that racism doesn't have an impact on them. A lot of the times, black people and people of color tend to be treated as like pet projects that white organizers can opt in and opt out of. But it's detrimental to the humanity of white people to dismantle racism. You have to shed your culture to identify as white. You have to shed your history and your identity to identify as white. You have to actually be in pursuit of that kind of hamster wheel that we're all pursuing to attain what's called the American dream. And a lot of people die in pursuit of it. Alcoholism, murder, suicide, drug abuse, and very, very detrimental, harmful things that are happening to people of all races and cultures because we have not made the connections between racism and capitalism. And all of those structures are what separates us. And it is not just a black thing. Racism is not a black thing. It's something that's projected onto black people and people of color, and not necessarily by white individuals, but by a system of white supremacy that nurtures this hierarchy that says somebody has to be at the bottom of this barrel for this system to function. And so we're going to have to all lift each other up and carry each other through this and create a system that's more humane. So what needs to not happen is to have a narrative that says that racism is a black thing and that we need to come over to the black people and help them out of their circumstance. What we need to do is level the playing field, which is why being a part of organizations that focus on equity are so important.
Dessa, Surge has come under some criticism. Some say it's just a white group for white people only, and that the goal is to help black people and people of color, but working within the white viewpoint. Does that pose any issue, do you think?
I think it's a really good question. I mean, I'm glad people are asking that question because I hope that it means that they really want to solve the problems of racism. I think it's really important for white people to do their own work, meaning to do the reflection, to ask the questions within white groups that need to be asked to gain clarity and understanding without putting people of color in the position of having to be our teachers all the time. I also think it's important for us to, in our spaces with other white people, deal with our baggage around being white. And I totally agree with Tawana that racism hurts white people also. Our culture doesn't frame it that way. So that's a really new way of thinking for a lot of people. But as soon as you start thinking about it, it becomes really obvious that we've lost our humanity in all of this also, and that we are missing out on the expertise and the wisdom of so many people in this country because we don't value them as equals. So, you know, when we're in spaces of white anti-racists gathering to learn from each other, that's really important. We're doing our own work. At the same time, it can't stop at that. It can only be part of something that is multiracial, multi-class, and diverse in many different ways, and also taking leadership from people of color, meaning, and this is part of Surge's mission, we meet in our white caucus, talk about things we need to talk about to gain better understanding so that when we do show up in spaces where we can take leadership from people of color, meaning we listen to them, not actually take their leadership away from them, that we show up educated and aware and not harmful.
Tawana, you get the last word. What are your thoughts?
I agree completely with Dessa. I think that it's important that white racists are organizing together and strategizing together. We need white anti-racist organizers to organize together and strategize together. And that's right. And when that work is done internally, you don't pose harm to communities of color. And so I commend Dessa for being committed to that type of advocacy work.
Tawana Petty is a mother, and I love the fact you say mother first above all, a social justice organizer, an author and poet, with the Detroit Equity Action Lab. Dessa Cosma, also with The Deal, Detroit Equity Action Lab, and with Surge Metro Detroit, showing up for racial justice. Thanks to both of you for sharing your views and being with us today on Stateside.
Thanks.
Thank you.